And I want to introduce to you our campus chaplain, Mallory Nhlovu Dladla. Tricky.
Ew.
She has a South African husband. And Joe Magalette is our athletics chaplain. And tonight they're going to be talking to us about life calling. The thing that everyone in college is like, Lord, just tell me and I will do it. But it's possible that that is going to be stretched for you tonight. And I'm hoping that you will come to a greater understanding of like how wide the calling of Jesus followers actually is. So Ashland University also emphasizes life calling. We have life calling classes that you can take to help you get into the right vocation that will like bring you a lot of joy in your life. And then our department in Christian ministry thinks that this is like the most natural thing for us to talk about, because as Christ followers, there is a newness to life. And so we learn what that newness is together when we worship and when we hear the word. And tonight we're going to learn a little bit about what it means to be called by God and what that means for your life moving forward. So Mallory and Joe, come on up. Do you need this?
All right. You know, the Bible is kind of clear about work. It uses the word a lot in the Old and New Testaments. And it says things like this: whatever you do, do you work heartily for the Lord, not for... anybody know it? Whatever you do you work heartily for the Lord, not for Mallory. That's what it says, really. No, it says, do you work for the Lord, not for men. So when you do your work, you're actually doing the work, whatever the work you are called to do, you're doing it for the Lord. So whether you're wrestling, playing basketball, going to class, doing your studies, doesn't matter. Those things that you are doing for the Lord. And then God says, whatever you do, do your work to the glory of God. So when you do your work, whatever your hand finds to do, do it all to the glory of God. That's part of the nature of what we do. But the problem is, especially when you're in college and you are studying and you're trying to figure out, okay, what are my gifts? What are my abilities? That's not an easy task. And I really love the passage in Matthew 7. Jesus talked a little bit about just how hard it is to walk with him and stay faithful and pursue the things that he wants us to pursue. And Jesus said it like this: enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and many are on it. But see, the narrow gate, the way is hard that leads to life, and few are on it. And so this is not an easy task. It's not an easy task. Just to come to college, it should just happen naturally for you. Oh, I just know what I'm going to do in life. That's not the way it goes. Now, some people are kind of clear about their gifts and abilities. I've had a few students come in here at their freshman year. They knew what they were majoring. They knew what they were going to do with their life. Those were not very many people in the 30 years that I've been a chaplain here. Few students are that way. My son was that way. He's an engineer. So he grew up, he came out of the womb with a math book in his... well, I don't know how that happened. You know, he's born with a math book. And the guy loved science and math growing up. He loved Tinker Toys. You know, I'm still buying him Lego sets, and he's 29 years old. Go figure that. No, seriously. Hey, I bought him Star Wars Lego sets this year for Christmas. I said, Nathan, what do you want for Christmas? I want Star Wars Legos. You know, so it's pretty cool. And, but here's the thing about being a Christian. It's just so natural for us to work. It should be natural for us to wake up in the morning. First of all, Christ is in your life, amen? I mean, the God of the universe is with you, right? And so you wake up in the morning, you're going to face the day, and it's the most natural thing for us to want to work. Let's go. We got things to do, people to see, places to go. And there are things that God wants to accomplish in our life, because God is a worker, and he's always working. Jesus even said, he said, my Father is working till now, and I'm working. And so work is one of the most natural things for us to do as a Christian. Who's doing the slides for me? Put the slide up here. So I want to show you something I think is really cool, is that in Genesis chapter 1, God started the whole thing off showing us that he's a worker. What did he do? He worked for 6 days and then he rests the seventh. And when he got to making us, he made us in his image, and then he gave us a job to do right then. I mean, we're rule, subdue, you know, take over the earth, la, 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 la. I mean, that's just part of who we are. We should be workers from the very beginning. And too often people talk about work as this drudgery kind of thing, and as if it was part of the fall and sin. No, work was going on before the fall. And when you get to heaven, you'll be working. I mean, it's one of the great things and the fun things of life that we are workers. And so, look at that, Genesis 2:1. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And that's what God asks us to do. Work 6 days, rest the seventh. And that's, you know, part of the things that we do in our life. I don't like lazy people. I'll just put it that way. You like lazy people, Mallory? I don't like lazy people. You know, girls, if you're dating a guy and he's lazy, go find another guy. Okay, guys, you're dating a girl who's lazy, go find another girl. We don't need laziness. Laziness should not be a part of the Christian life. It's not the way we are. Jesus got up early in the morning, got going. Sometimes he got up real early to spend time alone with the Lord. Funny story about that. We were in the Dominican Republic, and I don't know, man, I was so pumped to get some stuff done, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I thought, man, it's got to be 5 in the morning. I got to get going, and I usually get up earlier than everybody, and I got up, and one of the guys got up and said, Joe, what are you doing, man? It's like 12 o'clock. I was like, are you serious? I felt like it was like already 5:30. I was late. I was like, oh, my goodness. Go back to bed. Crazy. If you have your Bibles, Psalms 111, I want to encourage you to read Psalms 111, but if you have your Bibles, turn there, and when you get there, say I'm there. This is a go-to verse for me. I memorized a long time ago, and it's a verse that God's used in my life to help me understand my work. If you're there, say I'm there. Okay, Psalms 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. Think about that. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. See, God works, so I work. And I want to do the things that God is doing. I look to the Lord and I go, how did you do it? What are you doing? I want to do it that way. And so, you know, when I'm reading in the Old Testament and Chronicles and the history parts, and I see how God worked in people's lives, I learned from that. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Think about my namesake in the Bible, Joseph, right? Was Joseph a worker? He was a good worker. He was a hard worker. And he saw his work in light of the sovereignty of God. So that even at the end of his life, when his brothers came and they were all afraid of him, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He recognized God's work in his life. Psalms 111 is a great passage about, it's only like 8 or 9 verses, I think, about God's work. But when you read it, think about your work. Because those things God is doing, he's going to be drilling down into your life as you grow. Okay, that's what that verse, go to the next slide real quick. I just want to pull up one more verse. I don't know if it's up there. Psalms 90:16-17. This is a verse the Lord has given me. It's a promise verse many years ago, and I started praying it, and I remember I had all the huddle leaders praying it, and I said, God has a work for us, and let's pray this. And I was really praying it because my kids were growing up, and I was taking students one summer for about 8 weeks, about 40 of them, and we were going to be doing some stuff together. And I started praying this verse over their lives and my children's lives. And I was asking God, give us something to do. You know, in FCA, the students, something to do. And I just knew that God has a work. Let your work appear to us as your servants. And show your majesty to our children. And here my children were growing up. They were teenagers. They're getting ready to go to college and do stuff. I'm like, Lord, you got to show them your majesty. Do things for them. Let them know the work that you're doing for them. Let your work right? Appear to us and show your majesty to our children. And let the favor of the Lord be upon us and confirm for us all the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, confirm the work of our hands. You know what's exciting is when God confirms the work of your hands, you don't need everybody else to tell you you're doing a good job. The Lord, God Almighty, is telling you. He's showing you. And that builds that kind of confidence in your life that you need, especially here if you're a senior and you're getting ready to go. Start praying this prayer. God will show you. He'll give you the confidence and take you. Mallory, you want to take the next part?
Thanks, Joe. You had me until you started talking about waking up early. Anybody else? Like, 9 a.m. is about as early as I go. 10:30. Nice. Or I need some help from some coffee. So, hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. Awesome. I'm so excited to talk about this because Joe kind of mentioned this, but I think sometimes we start thinking about work and it becomes drudgery, it feels heavy, it feels like slavery, it's like this thing we survive until Friday at 5 o'clock or whatever. And I don't think that's what God has intended for us. I think he's intended for our work to be exciting and our partnership with him and something that's life-giving in our lives. And so I'm happy that we get to talk about it tonight a little bit. So I want to talk about how your work is part of our shared calling. So sometimes when we think life calling, we think there's one specific thing, one specific job that God wants me to do, and I have to figure out what that is, and it's the only right thing, and all the other things are wrong things. And we just want to expand that out a little bit and talk about how we all have a shared calling as Jesus followers, and understanding that can help us take a deep breath. And we can say, okay, I can walk in the calling of what it means to follow Jesus, and then also think about how I'm uniquely wired and what that looks like and how to head in that direction too. It all starts in the beginning when God calls a people to himself. He's talking to Abram, who becomes Abraham, and he's establishing a covenant with him. And he says this in Genesis 12, 2-3. He says, I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing. And those who curse you, I will curse, and all of the people of the earth will be blessed through you. One of my favorite professors at seminary always said, God's method is man. So God's method of working in the world are humans, humankind. So he accomplishes what purposes he wants to do through his people in the world. Proverbs 11:10. Says this, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. And you're like, Mallory, you misspelled righteous. That's not how righteous is spelled. What's going on? That is the word in Hebrew. It's tzadikim. It is in the Old Testament 200 times, in Proverbs 66 times. And it paints a portrait of what a righteous person looks like, what a God-honoring person looks like. And a couple things are true about this righteous person in the Old Testament. One is that they are God-oriented in all aspects of their life. So their home life, their work life, their family life, when they're playing, everything has God as the top priority in it, and they're always kind of facing Godward. And the second thing that's true is when they prosper, the whole city prospers. And I don't know if you think about that when you think about your work, you think about being a blessing in your workplace to your coworkers, but maybe even something bigger than that, that when you are blessed and when you prosper, the whole city can prosper. You can lead to greater flourishing within the city that you live in. So I don't know if you think about yourselves as city changers and city transformers, but with Jesus Christ living inside you, you know, we have that calling and that ability. And then in John 20, 21-22, Jesus has resurrected and he's hanging out with his disciples. And he says to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he breathes on them, you know, like Jesus does, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Matthew 28, we also see him send out his disciples to make disciples to the ends of the earth, and promises that his presence will be with them. And so we have this calling to carry on the work of Jesus in the world with the power of the Holy Spirit helping us do that, which is awesome. So whatever you're doing, you get to be a part of that. And that's exciting, right? We can get excited when we wake up in the morning if we think about that. If we think about participating in being Jesus to people, telling folks about Jesus, but also showing them Jesus with our lives. So we all get to be a part of the shared calling. Also, you are wired uniquely from everybody else. There is no one else in the world that is like you. And when we look at Genesis and we see that we are all created in the image of God, there is a part of God's nature that is revealed only through you. Does that make sense? Like, there is a unique way that God wants to reveal himself in the world, and he has put that in you and wants you to reveal him in that way. I was thinking about this, and I love this idea of, like, remembering the truth of who we are. I think it's really powerful. And I thought, I could go around and stand in front of each one of you and say, there's no one else in the world like you. You're amazing. God wants to reveal himself in a unique way through you. And then I thought, we'll be here all night. People will start to get bored of it after a while. But just receive those words. There's no one else like you. God wants to reveal himself to the world through you in a unique way. Go ahead to the next slide. Look, everybody, it's Emma. I picked Emma's picture because I knew she would forgive me. And I thought I could take her in a fight. Oh, there she is. Hi. Does everybody remember when we baptized Emma last year? Yeah, that was a really fun night. Does anybody remember, like, how awesome her testimony was? What was the word over her life? Qualified. Look, we all remember. So this was Emma's journey of, like, I understand that Jesus lives inside of me, and that qualifies me to be a part of God's work. So in two different places in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is writing to churches, and he really wants them to understand that everybody is necessary for what God is doing. And so he uses this image of the body of Christ. And I like this image a lot, because sometimes we can think, well, what do I have to contribute? Like, I'm not that special, or I'm not that important. And we think, like, I don't know, maybe I'm like the baby toe or like the earlobe. Does that really make much of a big deal? And Paul goes to say, he's like, every part is important. And one part of the body can't look at the other part of the body and say, I don't need you. Everybody needs everybody else. So your contribution is necessary and needed. So you have been given a unique skills, unique personality. Let's hear it for the introverts. I feel like extroverts get celebrated a lot, but let's hear it for the introverts. A unique personality, unique spiritual gifts and abilities. And so we talk some in the church about spiritual gifts and, you know, helps and service and exhortation and preaching. But also it's abilities and it's passions. And it's like, what's this random thing that you're really good at? Or what's this random thing that you're really passionate about? And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking we might have a couple of good examples. Well, everybody is a good example in the room, but I was thinking of Anna. Is Anna in here? Hi. Can you come up? I warned no one, so. Yay, Anna! Hi. How was your day?
It's wonderful.
Okay, good. Can you tell us something?
I have a specific passion for women. It started with human trafficking when I was probably in like sixth grade. I became really interested in human trafficking, and now in college it's more of sexual assault and domestic violence and in that area and realm.
And do you think that's what God wants to do?
Mm-hmm. I'm studying social work.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, Anna. Evan, can you come up? Yay, Evan! Everyone's like, please tell me she forgot my name. I don't want to be next. Oh, can you tell me something that you're passionate about? Being funny, yes.
A lot. Mainly just my studies.
What are you studying?
Biochemistry.
And what interests you in biochemistry?
Just all the applications that it has, mainly researching anti-cancer drugs.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's exciting. Thank you, Evan. So anybody, like, where's my, like, history, political science, general business, general psychology? That was me. Cool. I'm with you guys, too. Maybe you're like, it's that clear for me, too. I kind of know. But maybe not, and don't panic. Some of these things, you know, there's a little bit more breadth in the areas you can go into. So in her book, Kingdom Calling, Amy Sherman talks about, like, if we put these few things together, you're going to land in a pretty good spot with your sense of calling. Next slide, please. So these are the things. Number one is God's priorities. Again, we're, like, seeking to be Jesus to the world and demonstrate him, and so we're thinking about what's important to God. How might we know what's important to God? Yeah, scripture is the best place to start as far as learning what God is like. If you don't know where to start, start in the Gospels and just listen to what Jesus has to say. You'll start to get an idea of what's important to God. How do we know what our passions and our gifts are? We can kind of brainstorm them. Nothing is too silly, you know, like, you can be passionate about something and think that's not super important, and God can definitely use it. Also, ask your friends. Have you ever had a friend come up to you and say, like, this is true about you, and you didn't realize it before they said it, and then you were like, oh, maybe that is true about me. So ask your friends what you're gifted in, what your abilities are, what God's doing in you to bless them. And the last one is the world's needs. Again, we are here in this world on purpose, and we are blessed in order to be a blessing and to cause flourishing, and we have to pay attention to some needs around us. And so that could be a wide variety of things, but there are opportunities. I know I've talked to some education majors who have said, like, I want to be a good role model, a father figure, a safe person for kids. And I know that in the school systems, people are coming from all experiences, and I want to be that for them. So just keeping your eyes open to the needs of the world around you as well. The last thing I want to say, last slide, is that this is a helpful tool, but there's also no formula for this. I wish I could say, you know, add these things together and you'll have perfect clarity and it's going to be easy. But as Joe said, it's not always that easy to discern our vocation and our calling and then to make choices to prioritize that. So you can move forward with wisdom in God's guidance. You can ask God for guidance. And we sang a song about how his sovereign hand works in our life. Yes, and that's our prayer for you tonight. So if you're thinking, I would like to spend some more time on this, we have a couple of opportunities for that. At the end of the pews, there's these little cards that just have those circles on them, and there's space to write around them. And I would encourage you to just take one of those cards. You can work on it here this evening. You can take it with you. And just brainstorm. What are my passion and gifts? How have my life experiences equipped me for something? What are God's priorities? What are the needs of the world around me? And how can I step into that? Also, as Sadie said, we love to talk about this, and there's several of us in the Office of Christian Ministry. You can come talk to us anytime. We also have some resources if you're like, I want to learn more about calling. We have this book, and then Joe can tell you about another book that we have that's really awesome and his favorite. I haven't read it yet. It's on my list. And then we have another great opportunity through a partnership with Joe's wife, Renee. So I'm going to invite him to come up and share a little bit about how she's helping us with calling and then also pray for us.
My intern, Justin Davis, anybody know Justin? He's a short guy, football player. Over Christmas break, I was asking him and my wife to get together to start a program. My wife is president of the Business Networking International and part of the Chamber of Commerce. So we have a lot of relationships with a lot of business people. And So I wanted Justin to come up with a program to connect students with people in your major that might be in the workforce. So we've already been talking to businessmen. They're excited to get together with you, to eat lunch with you, or have dinner with you. And I'm asking them to pay, obviously, for you. Just so that you, like, if you're going to be an accountant, we'll get you together with a Christian accountant to sit down, ask questions, talk. We'll even give you some questions that you can ask. If you want to be a part of that program, contact Mallory. You can email my wife at reneemagalette@gmail.com, or you can email me or Justin Davis. Just look it up, you know, ashland.edu. Renee on Instagram. But we would love to connect you. And I've been doing this for years. I always tell the guys I disciple with, whatever major they're going in or wherever they're going, I would connect them with somebody in the community to just talk about, like, what does it mean to be a Christian in this field or whatever. So we really want to help you begin to figure that out for yourself. I think, though, my challenge to you is pray Psalms 90:16-17. Ask God to show you the work that he has for you. And then pursue him. It's hard work sometimes. It's worth doing. Okay? All right. You want me to pray? Okay. Let's pray. We bless you, O Lord our God. Thank you for being a great king. Thank you for being our father. We thank you that you have done so much for us. We ask that you would take the things that we've talked about tonight, Lord, and use them in the hearts of these people. Thank you for speaking. Holy Spirit, move. Show us your way. Guide us into the truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.